From DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
If you listen to Tuesday's edition of our program, we talked at the time a bit about how Jamil Burrows, the 2020 Georgia defensive line commit, his decision to join the Dogs 2020 class, how that could impact Andy Boykin, a 2020 commit to the Auburn Tigers, Boykin from LaGrange, Georgia. Well, we don't know yet what this means in terms of Boykin and Georgia, but we do know that there is some movement with Andy Boykin. He is decommitted from Auburn here as we get ready to go on the air live right around 10 a.m. Eastern time here on this Friday. Jeff Sintel coming up with more on that in just a moment. I'll also talk a lot about the game that Georgia's going to play on Saturday here in a minute as well. Before that, though, let me get some other relatively late breaking news here. The AJC is reporting here on this Friday morning that in a future year, 2024, Georgia will begin its season against the Clemson Tigers in Atlanta in a game that I'm only presuming is the Chick-fil-A kickoff there. And if you have been with us all summer, and you know we've talked a lot about the potential matchup between Georgia and Clemson. This is something that Dan Radakovich, the Clemson AD, was willing to go on the record about a bunch. Greg McGarrity, the Georgia AD, has talked about some of this kind of stuff as well. I am very much in favor of this. I would have preferred it be a home-and-home deal. I'll take the game in Atlanta. I just think that Georgia-Clemson are two teams that need to be playing each other. This is, for me, true for two reasons. First of all, I am as old as the hills. I can remember those great games in the 80s back when Georgia-Clemson was a terrific rivalry. There's a part of me that seeing Georgia and Clemson playing again is that sort of nostalgic feel back to an era in which Louis Grizzard was writing about these games and these two teams were battling and really with national championships on the line in many cases. So I've got a bit of a nostalgic feel for Georgia-Clemson. That's part of this. But this is also a present-day issue here as well. Clemson is quickly becoming one of Georgia's number one recruiting rivals. We probably talk about Georgia battling Alabama on the recruiting trail a lot more than we talk about Georgia battling Clemson. But make no mistake, Clemson set up camp here in the state of Georgia. Clemson's gotten some players and had some influence on some players that Georgia really wants. So if you're going to be battling them in December, and if you're going to be battling Clemson in February, then you might as well battle them in September as well. You might as well play them on the field, and that's just the way that I feel about that. Connor Riley, one of our producers, he and I were talking before the show started today. I guess I will admit that I'm a little bit surprised what some of the reaction has been to this when the news was posted on our Twitter feed there at Dog Nation on Twitter. Some Georgia fans sort of the immediate response to this is not exciting. It sounds like they wanted home-and-home non-conference game instead of the Atlanta deal. It sounds like they wanted an out-of-region game, sort of like going above the Mason-Dixon like Georgia did a year ago with Notre Dame. And I get where that's coming from. I like those games, too. I hope Georgia goes to Texas pretty soon. I hope Texas comes to Athens sometime in the next decade or so. I'd love to see Ohio State. I'd love to see Michigan. I'd love to see Notre Dame again, maybe. I like the idea of Georgia going out to UCLA, which it has scheduled coming up here really soon. I like all of that, but at the same time, while it's kind of cool and sort of, from a tourist standpoint, great to sort of take a trip to a city you don't get to visit a whole lot, there is a practical issue here of when it comes to what you can gain from playing a game, what you can sort of enrich in terms of a rivalry. Playing a team within your region just provides you a different kind of deal there. So while I love the idea of Georgia sort of reaching outside the Southeast for its future non-conference opponents, I don't think that Clemson should be ignored. I think that discussions ought to be had with Florida State as well. I think this is the kind of thing that Georgia ought to be pursuing. I guess the bottom line for me on this particular discussion is this isn't an either-or type of thing. It's an and-both. I hope that Georgia plays in Atlanta because you need to keep Alabama and Clemson out of that game as much as you possibly can. In this case, Georgia's playing Clemson. But I also hope that Georgia's pursuing the major road trips, the South Bends, the Austins, the Columbuses, the Ann Arbors. I hope that Georgia's doing both. I think that's what the future of scheduling in college football is going to look like, by the way. So with that in mind, let me shift gears to the game that Georgia's playing this Saturday, tomorrow, against Austin Peay. Not quite as sexy as Georgia-Clemson in 2024, but a pretty interesting showcase nonetheless. And I guess one of the things that's fascinating to me about this game is we are now entering Kirby Smart's third season on the field for the Georgia Bulldogs. And as I wrote my By the Numbers piece at DogNation.com here this week, Kirby's a far cry from the coach that he was in his first season on the job, and this program is a far cry from what it was in really a pretty mediocre 2016 year. It's amazing how much this program has grown as quickly as it has grown. I think it's probably safe to say that Kirby Smart has grown here as a coach as well, and he was actually asked this week, okay, so we always talk about players getting better, But as a coach, do you want to get better? And obviously, you're not surprised to find out that Kirby does want to get better. And I think we're all kind of curious to see on the field tomorrow just how much he is growing and improving as a coach and just how much this Georgia program is sort of growing and improving as well. Here is Kirby Smart on that subject.
I think you always want to get better as a coach. So what we try to do is look at areas we were deficient in last year. Where did we not play well? What did we not do well? A lot of our turnaround had to do with the players back for a second year. I mean, let's be honest, a lot of our success had to do with the fact that we had good players decide to come back. Now we're trying to replace those good players with players that were here or were recently signed. But as coaches, we're always trying to look introspective at what we could do better. Two-minute situations, third down and short. You know, we weren't as good on third down as we thought we needed to be. Turnovers, you know, like how can we improve ourselves? And we're always trying to do that, regardless of what year you're coaching, second, third, fourth, 20th.
Couple things there. I don't think Kirby Smart's giving himself enough credit for what happened in 2017. Obviously, Nick Chubb, Sonny Michel, their decision to return, Davin Bellamy, Lorenzo Carter, Dominic Sanders, Aaron Davis, all of their decision to return in the defensive secondary and on defense, that made a big impact for Georgia in 2017. But let's be honest, it is not that simple. Georgia's success last year was about more than just senior leadership. It was about the best recruiting class that Georgia had ever signed up to that point in 2017, many of those young players making an impact on the field last year. That's a lot about how Georgia got better last season, but it is kind of interesting that Kirby Smart says this year's team a little bit different identity, not led by as many truly dependable guys. We're going to have to see new guys step up, and he describes the process and some of the elements in which you may have to step up there. It's probably a different kind of debate for a different kind of show about whether turnover margin can be improved, but nonetheless, he mentions that. The idea, I think, of third down defense, things along those lines. Kind of an interesting look from Kirby Smart there and sort of what's on his mind about improving both as a coach and as a team here the week before the game starts. He also said something else pretty interesting when he spoke to the media on Wednesday, and I want to make sure we played this. You know, he's going to describe when he thought he knew that the Georgia players truly believed they could do something special in 2017, and he mentions the Notre Dame game. Obviously, that game is significant because it was the first game ever started by Jake Fromm. At the time, that seemed like a nervous situation for UGA, but it became a rallying point for the team. Will there be a rallying point? From a fan's perspective, hopefully it's not an injury, but will there be a rallying point like that for Georgia here this season? Kirby Smart seems pretty curious about that and talk more on the subject.
I would say Notre Dame in the locker rooms when I felt like they believed and they kind of trusted and they kind of enforced things and the leaders took over the team. As far as this year, I don't know when that's going to come about. I think we're going to have some adversity for that to come out. I mean, throughout camp, we've had different guys lead. I really think some guys have stood out from a leadership standpoint, but we haven't had that one defining moment that says, hey, this is who's going to take over this team.
I mean, listen, here is the bottom line for me on this discussion. On the day before the season begins for Georgia in 2018, it is obvious that when you look back on 2017, even though the Dogs did not win the national championship, this was a special team, maybe the most special Georgia team of them all in the more than 100-year history of the program. I think what Kirby's trying to say there is it remains to be seen if 2018 can be special. We know it's good. We know it's talented. It's likely among the best in the country. But in close games against really tough opponents, it's being special that you may need to call upon. And I guess over the course of the next 12 Saturdays, we'll find out just how special this group can be. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Good to have you with us. Live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter feed. We're on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we are available pretty much wherever podcasts can be found. Apple Podcasts, the Google Podcast Player for the Android devices, the world-famous DogNation.com. Thanks so much for being with us here on Dog Nation Daily. And if you settle in, watch some football last night, I guess you had, 16 NFL preseason games. You had a really good game between Purdue and Northwestern, the debut of Josh Heupel as UCF coach. So a lot of football on TV last night. Maybe you settle in and watch it with a little Marco's Pizza because, towards the end of the week, you're sort of already thinking about the weekend. When I think about the weekend, I think about pizza. When I think about pizza, I think about Marco's Pizza. I like saying hello, primo, with authentic Italian-quality pizza made every store every day the Italian way. And you can get two medium, two topping pizzas for $6.99 each. So go to Marco's.com. Write that down, Marco's.com. Put it right there in your fridge. You're watching football here this weekend. I know Marco's Pizza will take good care of you and get you fed there. Great offer on some great pizza. And it's great to have Marco's Pizza as a part of Dog Nation Daily here today. As I mentioned off the top of the show, Andy Boykin, the 2020 defensive lineman from LaGrange, Georgia, has decommitted from Auburn. What does this mean for Georgia? Maybe nothing, but we'll find out from Jeff Sintel coming up in just a few minutes. Before we get to that, I want to tell you a little bit about what Dog Nation's doing tomorrow, and I want to give you a couple more updates on some of those lingering storylines still impacting Georgia for this Saturday. First of all, Terry Govan, let me start with the wide receiver here. And, you know, I mentioned, I think it was yesterday's show, that the closer we get to game time against the Governors of Austin Peay, the more that I think that Georgia may go pretty vanilla. Maybe that ends up meaning even a little less of Terry Govan in this game, although he's probably going to be healthy enough, I would think, to play against South Carolina. Maybe you don't see a lot of him against Austin Peay. We talked to Mike Griffith about this some on Wednesday. Smart here also explaining that, you know, we've been saying knee injury for Godwin, but as you get sort of closer to kickoff, it's actually a different part of the leg that may be giving him more trouble right now. Here is Kirby on Terry Godwin.
Still don't know yet. He didn't practice today. He wasn't able to go. So we think he's close. I mean, he's come back twice, and it's just bothered him. And it's not really his injury as much as it is the rest of his body around it. Like, he's dealing with a calf strain right now. It's not his knee. So it's just every time he comes back, he's just struggling with other things. So I don't know if he'll be back or not.
Let me also say, I realize that's not the world's greatest audio quality. This was recorded the same day. You may remember earlier in the week, we showed you that video of Kirby speaking to the Redcoat Band. This was all recorded at the same time, Kirby out there with the band. So you kind of hear the drums in the background and a little bit of extra noise there. But that's Kirby Smart talking about the calf injury to Godwin maybe being the kind of thing that, you know, could slow him down a bit. Maybe it's also one of those things that privately Georgia just doesn't really feel like they need him a whole lot. And maybe whatever chemistry he's going to have with a Fromm this season, maybe they want to wait and showcase that against South Carolina. Something we might get to see tomorrow, though, and I know I talked about this on D90 yesterday, and really I've been sort of ringing this bell now for a few weeks. I really want to see Tyson Campbell, man. I am so excited about this. I just think a secondary cornerback in particular here is just one of the most important things to address if you want to win a national championship. And stats back this up, by the way. I mean, you know, there are a lot of good teams, or, you know, I should say a lot of average teams that score a lot of points. Being great on offense isn't necessarily indicative of anything. Sometimes you even see, like, average teams like, you know, Boston College comes to mind that may have, you know, a pretty good defensive line. But look at the secondaries who truly knock balls out of the air. I'm not talking about interceptions. That can be a little bit fluky. I'm talking about defending passes in the air. That's the who's who of the best in college football. The best teams have the best secondaries. It's one of the most underrated position groups in all of football. Cornerback is the most important position within that position group. And Georgia may have themselves a good one when it comes to Tyson Campbell. We may see it tomorrow. And if we do, the one thing that Kirby Smart says is what you're going to notice, the blazing speed that Campbell brings to the table. Here is Kirby again.
He's fast. I mean, that's what he is. He's fast. And he has an ability to make a mistake and catch up. He's been very level-headed. He doesn't get rattled a lot. He's a talented kid. I mean, so we're going to put him out there and let him go play some. And he may be rolling some with Mark Webb and Eric Stokes, but he has progressed. And he's only had 20-something practices. He's come along pretty fast. I've been pleased with his progress and hope that he continues to do that. And every now and then he has some mishaps, and we got guys to go in there and help him if he does.
So keep in mind, before you get ran over by my hype train here, Mark Webb is a guy that's been talked up now for a while, converted to defensive back a year ago. He may still be heard from here, and Eric Stokes has earned his praise during practice as well. It's not a given that Campbell beats out those guys for significant playing time early in the season, but you haven't really heard Kirby waver too much from a level of excitement about Campbell. And if Georgia's going to win a national championship, I just think that Campbell looks like a national championship-level cornerback. Let me also mention one more freshman here that could play a role in the secondary, and I bring him up because many of you have asked me about him. What about Otis Rees, a guy that so many people have said is sort of that perfect prototype for the star position, that fifth defensive back? Is that really true? Is he as perfect in that spot as many of us as fans think he is? Kirby Smart also weighed in on Rees as well.
He's pretty good. He's physical, but you want a guy that can cover. You know, Lorenzo could really cover well and run. Lorenzo was exceptionally fast for that size. Walter and Otis don't quite move like Lorenzo, but they're really physical and they're good tacklers. So he does fit the mold, but you want a guy that's quick and can cover too. Those slot guys like Akil and Nico can get you in a mismatch.
It was a big signing day win for Georgia, flipping Rees from Michigan, and we'll look forward to seeing if Rees does indeed get on the field here very soon in the upcoming season as Georgia starts with Austin Peay on Saturday. Good to have you with us here on Dog Nation Daily. And speaking of tomorrow, let's do our Kroger checklist here as we look in on what Dog Nation is going to be doing tomorrow. Here are a couple things you need to mark on your calendar. First of all, we're going to debut a brand new feature tomorrow on the Dog Nation video channels. We're going to have our Kroger kickoff. You are going to be able to watch all the events from around the stadium and in the stadium live tomorrow on the Dog Nation video channels as part of our Kroger kickoff. That includes the dog walk there at 1:15 and a lot of the stuff stuff from warm-ups. We'll have the entire team of Dog Nation on hand for that. So be close to your device tomorrow for the Kroger kickoff as we bring the pregame coverage from Sanford Stadium tomorrow. And then after the game, we'll have our Northside Hospital postgame show. We'll be back at the UGA bookstore for that. So please come by and see us if you're at the stadium. I'd love to shake your hand and say hello to you there at the UGA bookstore for the Northside Hospital postgame show. And I can also say this. I can confirm, although I'm not at liberty to mention the name yet, we're having a very special guest for the Northside Hospital postgame show tomorrow. So we are busy around Dog Nation. Hope to have you be a part of. And, of course, when you think about this time of year and you're thinking about your team on the field, obviously you want them to be a winner. Can't always guarantee that. But I can guarantee you're going to be a winner when you get great deals on your game day snacks at your local Kroger. So when you think about the kickoff to the upcoming season, think about Kroger. They'll take care of your tailgating needs, that party you're having at your house. They'll stock you up for that as well. And you know you'll get the best prices. We love having Kroger as part of our Kroger checklist every Friday here on Dog Nation Daily. All right, another guy that loves Kroger's, our buddy Jeff Sintel. He's going to join us now. A lot on Andy Boykin's flip and a whole lot more. Let's bring him on right here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Before I say hello to Jeff Sintel, let me also remind you that don't forget Dog Nation going to be at Marlowe's and Dunwoody on Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m. for our big game preview. Looking ahead to the game against the South Carolina Gamecocks on Saturday in Columbia. Really excited about that. Also a special guest going to be with us here at the Marlowe's in Dunwoody. We're going to have Terrapin Brewery on hand. They're going to have the smoker out front there on the lawn at the Marlowe's in Dunwoody. And if you show up wearing your red and black, you get a complimentary appetizer courtesy of Marlowe's Tavern as well. That's all this Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m. for our big game preview, getting ready for South Carolina. Jeff Sintel, busy Friday around the UGA recruiting world. As we mentioned off the top of our program, Auburn commit Andy Boykin is an Auburn commit no more. He has flipped. What can you tell us about this here off the top?
Well, the timing, guys, is very interesting on a Friday. Jameel Burrows, the four-star defensive tackle, who just chose Georgia over the weekend, this past weekend, has long stated that he wants to play with Boykin. Boykin has reflected that same sort of attitude. Burrows actually told me he was going to wait a little bit after his commitment to kind of subtly do his down-low recruiting pitch to Boykin about for him to come to play for Georgia. And I think he was just going to start up with him right around the middle of this week. And what you have now, I don't know if this is a direct cause and effect relationship. I do feel it is related, where Boykin sends out the kind of classic, I'm wanting to reopen my decision tweet, and with the standard no interviews line. Two things I will add. Number one, he was at G-Day this spring. After that visit, he told me that he expected a fight to the finish between Auburn and Georgia for his eventual decision. And the second thing here to pay very close attention to was Andy Boykin. He's a definite want for the Bulldogs as well. And he also said that Georgia was rapidly gaining on Tigers, and appears that Georgia is probably very much in the mix here as a change agent for this decision.
Yeah, so that's really interesting. I actually want to deal with you about these numbers here in a moment, because I think you're bringing up something that's a really important part of this, that he's a definite want, because when you look at the rest of that 2020 class for defensive linemen, that's a pretty crowded group right now, so I want to ask you in a moment how Boykin kind of fits into all of that, but let me just sort of piggyback on what you were also saying, and the fact that I know you're probably aware of this, Jeff, the Auburn message boards were sort of on fire about all this last night. I guess, and I'm not subscribers to these sites, so I don't know what was said, but I guess he had given some quotes, I know, to the 24/7 site. He may have given some quotes to the rivals Auburn site as well, where it seems like for a lot of the Auburn fans, they had sort of waved the white flag on Boykin, maybe before last night, but by last night, this was, I would say, one of the more intense topics around the SEC message board land. So it seems like some folks sort of felt like this had maybe been foreshadowed for a little bit of a while. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah, I think it's fair. I mean, one thing I don't do is I don't deal in message board trade by and large. Now, there's good information on there, don't get me wrong, but that's really not the sort of things you can make a living on as a reporter putting out there in the sphere. I just know every time I talk to Andy, he seems very, very charmed. I think the word there is charmed by the Bulldogs. There's especially one really cool story early in his commitment that he's never forgotten, about Georgia and Kirby Smart, and I've been asked to kind of hold on to that one for a little bit.
Okay.
But I will say that, you know, we brought this up on Before the Hedges, Brandon, and Georgia's going to go through the aisle and overload the shopping cart for defensive linemen this year. You look at Georgia's depth chart, they have 12 scholarship defensive linemen. That's the tackle and the defensive end position. And nine of those will be gone from UGA by the time that Andy Boykin arrives. So I think that is huge. I think Georgia will go very heavy on the defensive line, and I think Andy Boykin would be one of the ideal signees for the staff in that class.
Which is very important here because, as you know, Georgia has Jameel Burrows already in the fold, Nazir Stackhouse already in the fold. Brian Brzee is a tough recruiting battle here, but my expectation is it'll go down to the wire with Georgia trying to win out with Brzee there. Same thing with Miles Murphy. Maybe Georgia's got a little bit more of an inside track on Murphy just because of the fact that he's an in-state prospect, but that's obviously an intense recruiting battle. Almost by everybody's estimation, Murphy's a very, very solid take, of course, for a UGA. And now you add Boykin. That, if I'm counting correctly, is five defensive linemen right there. So you think there's room and priorities for all five of these guys when it comes to that 2020 class?
Yeah, I think they'll make priorities for a lot of those guys. It's just one of those things. A lot of those guys, you know, you can look at a guy like Miles Murphy, and he's so athletic, he can kind of be seen as that jack guy or
okay.
that
okay.
house guy. Boykin is actually rated as a strong side defensive end. I think he is a classic hand-in-the-ground player, but he could also flip and do a little bit of that as well. And but he's also of the size and stature you got to remember. You know, Boykin, 6'3 and a half already over 260 pounds in his junior year of high school. When I see a player that big, no matter how well he moves at that age level, already with the big offers, anybody over like 230, 240 right now as a junior looks to me like they will eventually be a hand-on-the-ground defensive lineman in college.
For the folks who are watching our show right now, I want to show you this message from a Georgia commit, the linebacker Ryan Trouble Davis. He put this out on Twitter. His team is going to be actually in Suwanee on Saturday night to take on or to play at North Gwinnett. He says, dear UGA fans, I'm going to be in Georgia this weekend with my team playing North Gwinnett. If you can please come out and support us, do. So he's essentially inviting Jeff, UGA fans, to kind of come out and see him. Now, obviously, that's a tricky travel deal given the fact that Georgia plays in Athens at 3:30, and then later on that evening, the other Bulldogs, North Gwinnett there in Suwanee that night. But I don't mind telling you, I've never been a game film expert. I'm not a scout, but that Davis film really pops. You linked some of his high school highlights on a recent intel at dognation.com. Kirby likes linebackers who are runners and hitters. It seems like in the case of Davis, he is both. He really packs a thump. I got to imagine if you get a chance to be in a stadium and see a Georgia commit this fall kind of finish up his high school career, Davis is probably going to put on about as dazzling a show as virtually anyone would, and I mean all Georgia commits included here. If for the people who can get out to see him in Georgia here, that's kind of a pretty cool deal, right?
Yeah, I think that young man is definitely worth the price of admission. I've stated many times that I think his film is one of the best films in the entire 2019 class. He's the nation's number five outside backer who will play inside linebacker and then eventually maybe float out to the edge at Georgia because he has the skill set and the wherewithal to do all of that. But the thing, I guess the ideal Georgia fan on Saturday would love to see this, especially if they live around Alpharetta, North Atlanta, Roswell, that sort of area. What they'd love to do is get down there for Stanford, watch Georgia put about 45 points on Austin Peay by the half, hop in the Volvo, the BMW, the SUV, whatever their gas guzzler is, and then head back home. And they would be treated to a appetizer or maybe a dessert course of one of Georgia's finest commitments in the class of 2019. And I tell you, he's a stat sheet stuffer. You look at what he does, and, you know, Davis is the type of guy that would probably get a sack, two or three quarterback hurries, maybe one forced fumble, 10 tackles, maybe three quarterback pressures. He'll probably defend about four or five passes out of the backfield. He just does everything for Wakaiva out of Orlando, and they will be playing as part of a Freedom Bowl kind of a conga line of games at Milton High School on Saturday. They will be playing the defending 7A state champion North Gwinnett Bulldogs, who have quite a few big-timers on their roster as well.
So on Wednesday's edition of Before the Hedges presented by Kroger and in your recent Sintel intel at dognation.com, We heard from five-star linebacker N'Kobe Dean, who I don't mind telling you, Jeff, I think I represent a lot of our audience when I say this, is one of those really interesting prospects still on the board, potentially for Georgia in 2019. Now, you had a very wide-ranging interview with him. Some of this you may have already haven't even published yet at dognation.com. I know we heard some of those clips at Before the Hedges. We may hear some more this upcoming week in terms of everything that Dean had to say there. I had my own thoughts on this, and I, as I told you on Wednesday, I thought this was mostly good for Georgia. You know, maybe some of the lines that he gave you, maybe that doesn't, if, as a Georgia fan, fill you with the utmost confidence. What was your ultimate takeaway from the discussion you had there with N'Kobe Dean? I thought it was very interesting. I thought only part of it seemed like good news for Georgia.
Well, I think this is a commitment decision that still needs to mature a little bit. Other people, you know, including yourself, Brandon, kind of, and I agree with, I see why you look at it that way. They wondered about, you know, why is he taking all these other officials, and then why the Vanderbilt official visit, but, and then essentially why did his mother kind of be the go-to person to set up the visit with the staff? Well, the things I know about this situation is he's got a very busy, a very loaded docket. He wants to win a state championship for Horn Lake, Mississippi this year. And if he does that, he has very limited weekends with travel to be able to take an official visit. He's going to take one in September to Auburn, but the first one he has scheduled is the October visit to Vanderbilt, because that's a clean and that's an open weekend. His mother scheduled it because she's a very organized lady. She's the president of the booster club at Horn Lakes for that football team. And he's going to take an LSU official at the end of the year. And after that, he don't even know how he's going to fit in an FSU official that he'd really like to take. The end of his season goes, he would play for the state title the first weekend in December. The second weekend in December, he is going to take his official visit to LSU, which would be December the 7th. And then in between all that, after his football season concludes, he's going to participate in the Mississippi-Alabama All-Star Classic, which is kind of like a lot of the events they have here in Georgia. So he's going to be full in December. He's also going to be having a birthday on December the 13th. The first day of the early signing period is December the 21st. After that, he's going to play in the Under Armour All-American game. And then in January, he's going to enroll at the school of his choice. There's not a lot of room left on that day planner for N'Kobe Dean to take a lot more of these visits.
So I'll just give you my thought on this, Jeff. You know, as a fan that obviously wants Dean to come to Georgia, I don't care that much that LSU's getting his last visit. The fact of the matter is, Ed Orgeron can't close the front door. But what he does say about, you know, Florida State, you know, kind of perks my interest a bit. It seems like he was really impressed by that visit. We know that Florida State, under Willie Taggart, is pretty good at making an immediate impression. It seems like they probably did that with Derek Rambo Hunter, you know, recently. The early taste that people seem to have from those Florida State visits is pretty good. So, you know, I'm not worried about the fact that LSU gets the last visit, but I am worried about the sort of division of sympathies that that Dean and his family seem to have right now. Now, you've reported that Nikita Dean, Dean's mother, really likes Georgia a lot, but this is almost like one of those crowded fields at the top of a golf tournament where you got a lot of guys you're competing with at the moment, it seems like.
Yeah, I guess the N'Kobe Dean recruitment won't start until the back nine in December of 2018. But, you know, here's the thing there. You know, Nikita Dean also said that when she went and visited Georgia for the scavenger hunt weekend, that was the best visit up to this point. And now the Florida State visit comes across as very genuine, very involved. I will give a little background on the FSU trip. He really took that thing as kind of an elimination visit. He wanted to make sure he saw Florida State. That was and still is the only time he's been to Florida State. And he hoped to maybe cross them off the list and make that decision a little bit more manageable. But he had a great time. Willie Taggart was genuine. He tried on the Seminoles colors. He liked the fit. He didn't really have a high impression of that inferior ACC program. Kind of didn't even think FSU was going to have a big stadium. All those things looked good to him. He liked the feel of the staff. Mom definitely loved it. And he's trying to find a way to get back to Florida State for an official. But he realizes it's going to be really hard to do that, especially if Horn Lake goes all the way to December and wins a state title or even plays for a state title.
This week, you introduced many of us to the 2025 star running back, Kendall Milton. We heard from him on Before the Hedges this week. You wrote about him at DogNation.com. And, boy, Jeff, this is sort of a two-way impressive story here. Impressive in terms of the way that Milton carries himself as a young man. That makes you immediately attracted to him as a potential future prospect for UGA. And impressive with how quickly Dell McGee, and you coined the phrase this week, Dell, yeah. A lot of Georgia fans saying Dell, yeah, about the way that McGee has seemed to cozy up to another five-star running back out of state again, a state that it's very hard to pull players from in California. And yet McGee seems to, look at all challenges as essentially equal in terms of his ability to overcome them. This is a really unique story for Georgia to kind of be in it with another out-of-state five-star running back. But to listen to Kendall Milton speak, that's exactly what's on the precipice of maybe happening, right?
Yeah, as far as the Dell Yes stuff goes, Brandon, I think should Dell McGee close another five-star from California, there are only going to be a few frontiers for him left. I think it might be a running back from the Iditarod in Alaska, and then a unknown under-the-radar prospect from Spain who built up their speed by running with the Bulls. And then the final frontier, obviously tongue-in-cheek here, I feel would be maybe flipping a Power 5 coach's son away from that program to the University of Georgia. I think after that, they'll check every box imaginable in the degree of difficulty list. And you know, on all seriousness, the one thing about Milton I really like is there was something I quoted in that story, and to me, I think it was one of the most impactful things to me that I've written or published in quite some time. When I asked Kendall Milton, the tape's great, he pops 6'2", 215, runs with relentless aggression, he's hungry to get the end zone, he's one of those end zone stalkers for sure. But the thing I liked about him in the way that we tried to define these young men as people is he lives in a transient state in California where anybody can jump anywhere and be immediately eligible and all those things. And he's been in the same program since the first grade. And I asked that young man, I said, you know, this is pretty hard. I'm sure everybody's clawed at you and came at you. Why do you choose to stay with the same Buchanan Bear program, which he's been in the feeder since like first and second grade? And he told me that he finds it very hard to leave a program that has done nothing but do right by him since he was in elementary school. Now, different players handle that differently, but to hear a young man of his stature say that and recognize that tells me that Kendall Milton will be a tremendously successful college football player with an attitude and a skill set like that.
So on the subject of Dell McGee, when it comes to Milton, and this is a topic in which I am not qualified to speak on, but wasn't it Alexander the Great who supposedly got depressed because he finally reached a point where there are no more worlds to conquer? I mean, if you get five-star running back from Louisiana, if you could get five-star running back from California, maybe McGee will look around and say there are just no more recruiting worlds to conquer. At that point in time, he sort of knocked them all down.
Maybe the man will not rest until he has six five-star backs at the University of Georgia, and maybe he's gray-shirting another five-star back at the University of Georgia, and maybe he sees two or three first-round draft picks in one class from the University of Georgia. Dell's great and all, but the one thing, Dell and Sam Pittman just work so well together that not only you've got the lure and the grandeur of the running back spot at Georgia, but you're going to be watching holes kind of carved up by those five-star chefs of Sam Pittman on the offensive line at Georgia. It's a hand-in-hand thing where these guys are going to get to the second and third level a lot because those mountains on the offensive line for Sam Pittman's massive human being club are just doing their job as well. That's a very powerful 1-2 for Georgia from their ace recruiters.
All right, let me do two subjects really, really quick here before we let you go. And there's a chance we may have talked about this. I don't believe we have. Would you mind just do a quick update here on something that you wrote about at DogNation.com, the fact that Justin Rogers, the 2020 offensive lineman from Michigan, seems to be sort of pushing the brakes or pumping the brakes, I guess the better way to say that, on what many of us thought might be a commitment decision coming up from him. I guess I'm curious of, was this a misread from the beginning and it never was really an expected commitment coming up? Is he getting pressure from a school like maybe Ohio State to sort of slow down on, you know, saying what he may have intended to say here? Can you give us any backstory on why it is that things may be slowing down for Justin Rogers, who at one point in time seemed like he was running face first into a commitment?
Well, I think that's probably what I will chalk up now as being playfully coy. He was able to get his name out of the interwebs and into the social media retweet cycle. Effectively, he's done so. I think right now, I think the big Justin Rogers news peg right now is how he's kind of dabbling all over the place. He's playing some defensive tackle. He's playing some middle linebacker. There's some great film out of him from his last game there at Oak Park, Michigan, where he plays a pretty effective middle linebacker. And that kind of falls into what Georgia was looking at him eventually. Georgia and Sam Pittman evaluated him, according to Rogers, as a guy that they weren't sure whether he would be a fit on the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of the ball. That speaks to the kind of athlete that Justin Rogers is. Everybody knows about Lamont Gallier, the guy who started out as a four-star defensive tackle at Georgia and is now arguably one of the two finest centers in the nation as a senior for the Bulldogs. So I think Justin Rogers, about 6'2½", 300 pounds. Remember that, 6'2½", right about 300 pounds, playing middle linebacker and a pretty doggone good middle linebacker for his high school team so far in his junior season. He's just a player. He's a very talented prospect. And I think now, whether it was a commitment to Georgia, a commitment to Ohio State, a commitment to an All-American game, I think maybe Justin Rogers is going to sit on his hands a little bit right now. But he's already shown us as a recruit that you really can never know about his next move already.
All right, quick final question for you. You've already reported and told us. We talked about this on Before the Hedges Wednesday. That Jaden Hazelwood not expected to be at Georgia Austin Peay on Saturday. He's likely going to Auburn, Washington. As a fan, I don't care a rip about that. Justin Fields went to Alabama, FSU a year ago. We know where he signed on signing day. I feel the same way about Jaden Hazelwood. But in terms of who is expected to be in Athens on Saturday, any nuggets you can drop to us on that?
Yeah, there's a lot of the in-state commitments. You're going to see a lot of, you know, guys like, you know, J.D. Bertrand tells me he's not sure if he'll be able to make it or not, but Ryland Goede, Dominic Blaylock, Nazir Stackhouse, the 2020 commitment will be there. Broderick Jones, the five-star offensive tackle for 2020, will not be there. I'd be looking to see, you know, I think Zacavius Walker is a guy out of Schley County. He's a 2021 outside linebacker, defensive end, edge prospect that's expected to be there. You're going to see a lot of the familiar names there as well. Don't think it will be a huge visit window for a lot of those new recruits. There might be a guy that shows up as a surprise that morning, but really,
now come on, Jeff, you can't say that. Now you're going to say that. Now all I'm going to get are tweets all weekend long, and you the same way about who the surprise is. You got to be careful throwing that surprise word around, Jeff. You know that.
Yeah, but I don't think Austin Peay, let me just throw some hot, cold water on that one. I don't think Austin Peay is the one that people will come out and dazzle people by showing up. I tell you the biggest shock value tomorrow, and if it happens, I'll tweet it out and show it when everybody sees it. Maybe put that in your back pocket where Jameel Burrows might bring Andy Boykin with him Saturday morning to Georgia. That would be a highly interesting photo op. I know Burrows is going to be there, and as we led the show, Andy Boykin is now a free agent, and he was just at Georgia for G-Day. Wouldn't it be highly interesting if his next trip to a college football game or a college football cathedral in the SEC might be back to Georgia as well?
Boy, that's really interesting, Jeff. That's a fun thing to think about. We really appreciate your coverage. You're all over it. SentellIntelDogNation.com, Before the Hedges each Wednesday at 3 p.m. It's great to get a chance to catch up with you in a lot of this kind of stuff. I'm looking forward to seeing you in Athens, a part of a lot of our Kroger kickoff pregame coverage, our Northside Hospital postgame coverage. You're going to be a part of all of it. Jeff, we'll look forward to seeing you in Athens on Saturday and back here again on Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza very soon.
All right, guys. Have yourself a great game weekend. Drive safe.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
All right, great stuff from Jeff Sintel there. Really excited about tomorrow in Athens. Jeff's going to be a part of a lot of the stuff that we're doing there. I'll also say, before I transition to our SEC through here, we got a lot going on around Dog Nation right now. I want to make sure that you're aware of all of it. I posted the piece yesterday at DogNation.com about our Dog Nation Invasion giveaway currently going on courtesy of Kroger, so please make sure you check that out. We're going to be in Baton Rouge this October, New Orleans on the Friday, Baton Rouge on the Saturday. We'd love for you to be with us, and your chance to be there is by winning a trip for two courtesy of Kroger. So register for your chance to win there at DogNation.com. Simply find the post, click into the link. You can also check out the Dog Nation social media channels. You can probably find that as well. But the Dog Nation Invasion giveaway to Baton Rouge courtesy of Kroger is coming up. So make sure you get signed up for that. All right, SEC through time here. We actually had an SEC team make its debut last night. Texas A&M, the first game in the Jimbo Fisher era began. And A&M, as expected, completely walloped Northwestern State. Interesting here in the fact that it was Kellen Mond who got the nod as starting quarterback, and he looked pretty good there. I mean, I think this is a situation where A&M probably got two good quarterbacks. You know, a lot of these teams are having these quarterback battles that it may not have any. A&M is actually probably a little bit deep at that quarterback position. Mond's a guy that I always thought would break out at a certain point in time. Maybe last night he did. I think that A&M is, over the long term, going to be a pretty dangerous foe for teams like Alabama and Auburn in the SEC West. I don't know how quickly A&M can do it in year one, but pretty clearly Jimbo's building a pretty talented roster there. The arrow is pointing up for me for Texas A&M a lot more than it is for many other teams in the SEC West. And the Fisher era got started last night in College Station against Northwestern State. All right, a lot of Georgia fans probably not that jazzed about Austin Peay tomorrow, but really looking forward to next Saturday against South Carolina. With that in mind, let me give you a piece of news here from South Carolina. It was made official yesterday that Josh Belk, who you may remember was a 2018 signee with Clemson, but never really enrolled there, got his free and clear release from Clemson, flirted, I guess, with Georgia for a moment. Didn't he take a visit to Georgia before he ultimately made his decision to go to South Carolina? He is at South Carolina, and he is now eligible to play. But eligible is the operative word here because it remains to be seen how much early in the season he is going to play. The reason why I know that is because Will Muschamp, the South Carolina coach, on his radio show last night was quoted by The State, which is the newspaper there, the media outlet in Columbia, South Carolina. Here is what Muschamp said about Josh Belk's eligibility. He says, we've got to get Josh in a little better shape. Right now he has not played, he's not game planned with us. I think he'll play, no doubt about that. It's not clear to me what he means by he'll play, no doubt about that. Does he mean Saturday? That would seem unlikely for me. If I had to guess, now, by the way, that's Will Muschamp, quoted by The State from his radio program last night. You know, Belk is a former pretty big-time recruit. He was a four-star guy, but he is currently listed at nearly 350 pounds. And when all the media outlets around South Carolina write about Belk, they use the word listed every time, which would seem to be almost a suggestion that he may be north 350. I'm just a believer that if he's at 350 right now or even higher, I mean, it seems hard to imagine he's going to play very much at all against Georgia next week. This is an example of Muschamp doing pretty well with recruiting. I think eventually Belk's probably a pretty good player for South Carolina. He's at least got the talent to be. I don't know that Josh Belk is a factor next Saturday against Georgia. My assumption would be that he probably will not be. By the way, speaking of Georgia and other SEC teams, and speaking of radio shows, last night Nick Saban does his. He's quoted by AL.com as explaining why it is that he's doing this, you know, kind of Hard Knocks HBO-style series with ESPN, which is a pretty sort of inside look at the ongoings of Alabama's program. And Saban, once again, now this is where I'm going to sort of inject my own opinion in the story. Saban once again whining about negative recruiting. Y'all, listen to Saban, who is very much, what does the kid say, triggered? It seems like Saban is pretty triggered here at the moment about the way that he's been handling the recruiting trail as of late. Here's what AL.com quotes Nick Saban as saying about why he's all of a sudden very friendly with the media in terms of letting ESPN get access to the program. He says, I felt like our program was being misrepresented, he says, in a lot of ways by a lot of people. We get a lot of negative recruiting. People beat us up in a lot of ways, a lot of unfair ways, a lot of things that aren't really true, like we're a football factory. We don't care about the players. A lot of things like that. Nobody has any fun. I mean, it's ridiculous. That's Nick Saban, VAL.com, why he chose to do the ESPN series. If you don't think for 2 seconds that Georgia, who Kirby Smart has said he doesn't have any need to do any negative recruiting. He thinks his program sells itself. But if you don't think that Georgia, and to a certain extent Clemson, have got Nick Saban shook right now, to once again use a phrase that the young folks like to use, I don't think you're paying attention. Saban is worried. He is worried about the perception of him. He's worried about the perception of Alabama and the sort of enhanced perception of programs like Georgia, and I think that's all really, really juicy. Let me do a couple other quick stories here. Actually, one more quick story on this. So I know this is kind of a controversial topic. Not everybody likes country music. Not every country music fan likes Luke Bryan, but Luke Bryan is a big Georgia fan, and tomorrow he's going to be the guest picker courtesy of College Game Day. Here's what Bryan put out on Twitter about this. If you're watching on a video here, Luke Bryan making it known, we'll show it to you if you're watching us on video, that he's going to be the guest picker there. So you may not like Luke Bryan's music, but if you want to hear a little Georgia talk on College Game Day tomorrow, my guess is Luke Bryan will probably give you some of that, and we'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, this is one of those days we've had to cover a lot of subjects. We have talked a lot about the upcoming scheduled game with Clemson for 2024, that announcement coming out. We have talked about the decommitment from Andy Boykin, the Clemson 2020 prospect, or I should say Auburn 2020 prospect, who could be in Georgia's plans in the very near future. Let's kind of finish, though, the day by trying to focus as much as we can on the Austin Peay game for tomorrow. After all, this is our first chance to see Georgia on the field for 2018, and maybe, at least by FCS standards, a little better opponent than you might think. Kirby Smart did explain this week why it is that he's kind of excited about playing the Governors. Here's Kirby with more.
Excited to get moving forward on Austin Peay. I have a lot of respect for Coach Healy and the job he's done, followed his career. He's done a tremendous job everywhere he's been, especially offensively, and they've got a great unit coming back. In our estimation, they've got 8 to 9 starters coming back on offense, depending on how you count a couple wideouts, and then 8 guys coming back on defense with 2 all-conference players that we think are really good players. So excited for the opportunity to open with these guys. He's got a lot of energy. You can tell his players are very enthusiastic. He's done a really good job recruiting coming into the state of Georgia. I know the high schools I've been in, I've seen them in the local high schools more and more, and it's kind of evidenced by the way their players have played.
This is a team ranked in the top 20 of the FCS poll, and I wrote at DogNation.com this week about, you know, you go back to 2016, you know, Georgia sort of played around way too much with Nicholls State. I don't think this Georgia team's any kind of threat to do that, just given the level of focus and commitment Georgia showed in 2017, but this is not maybe as bad as some of the FCS teams. Certain big-time major opponents will play here this Saturday. One thing in particular that Austin Peay seemingly does pretty well is run that sort of option-style attack. Kirby Smart explain what we can all see and expect to see from the Governors offensively tomorrow. Here's more from Kirby.
They have a lot of elements of the option. Both quarterbacks do a great job running the ball. They have perimeter runs. They got inside runs. They got arc schemes. They got veer schemes. They got power schemes, gap schemes. They have a plethora of offensive sets and motions, and they do a very good job offensively of trying to keep you off balance. So I think we have a good physical front. I'm not saying they're going to come in and dominate and be able to run the ball every down on us, but I think what they can do is get explosive plays, because they affect you on the perimeter. If you don't play the option right, which is not something that we practice against every day, it can become a problem for you. So we've worked really hard at understanding some scheme blocking stuff we may get, play actions off of it. You got to have really good eye discipline. That's why they score so many points, because teams get in trouble and don't look at the right thing. And when you're dealing with a young secondary, sometimes that can happen to you.
So, listen, I won't pretend to know the first thing about Austin Peay. If the entire team was standing right here at Dog Nation World Headquarters, I'm not sure I could pick them out of a lineup. I'm not even sure what colored uniforms they wear. But I've tried to sort of, like, look into this a little bit more, I guess, and I hope I'm explaining this right. This option-style attack for Austin Peay, probably a little bit more of an Auburn-style option than, like, say, a Georgia Tech-style option. I may be completely wrong on that, but it sounds like you may see some of the speed sweep stuff, like you see Auburn use, trying to spread a defense out horizontally there. So it sounds like you're going to see a lot more of that from Austin Peay on Saturday than what you would see from, like, that typical Georgia Tech-Navy-style option attack. But I guess we'll all see with our own eyes coming up tomorrow. I sort of still stand by what I have kind of been saying on this, which is the closer we get to game time, the more I wonder if Georgia's not just content to get some playing time for some guys who need some experience, sort of figure out some things, but not showcase a lot. Maybe whatever dazzling plays James Cook has in him, maybe Georgia holds that back at least for a week. Maybe the same thing for Demetrius Robertson as well. Maybe no need to play the somewhat hobbled Terry Godwin here, at least not a whole lot. My guess is Georgia's content to sort of get out with an easy win and get its focus on South Carolina. And I think focusing on South Carolina is probably something that sounds pretty good to Georgia fans as well. All right, we will get ready to wrap up here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza. Let me do the Gator Heater countdown, and then I want to do one more point on the Austin Peay game on Saturday. By the way, 57 days from right now, Georgia goes to Jacksonville, beats Florida again. We love thinking about Georgia beating up on those lousy, stinking Gators. That's when we do our Gator Heater countdown every single day here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza. So we can't wait for October 27th. Also really excited about tomorrow as well against Austin Peay. Kroger kickoff coverage pregame, Northside Hospital postgame coverage postgame. It's going to be a great day around the Dog Nation video channels. One of the things I was interested about for tomorrow, I thought the captain's list that came out was pretty interesting. Juwan Taylor on that list, Akeel Crumpton, Elijah Holyfield. Crumpton for me is the most interesting name here. I'd gotten wind that he was used a lot in one of the scrimmages earlier in the summer. You know, could he be a kind of a dynamic slot option for Georgia? I can't wait to find out. We'll talk to you Monday.